As we do each week, we review the last week, and we continued our study of Psalm 119. You ought to be getting sick of filling in that blank line, amen, 119, amen. It's going to be that way. Following the Hebrew alphabet, Zain, by looking with the psalmist at scriptural hope. That's what we looked at last week, scriptural hope. And that was in verses 49 through 56. And you remember that in that particular passage, as in many, the writer is beset with the problem of hardship caused by the wicked who despised his godliness. We talked about on Sunday night as we were in 1 Peter chapter 4, how Peter made it clear. He said, you know, as a Christian, don't suffer as a murderer or a robber or anything like that. That's just consequences. If you're going to suffer, suffer as a Christian. Suffer for doing right. Amen. And listen, I've said it many times in these lessons, and I'll continue to say it. In many countries, to receive Christ is a death sentence. Death sentence. It's not that way here yet. Yet. But it's sure heading that direction. You just keep being godly. You keep doing right. Amen. You keep obeying the Word of God. You keep living according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. Reveals this word to us. So, three bullet points from last week. We looked at the request in verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. What is he asking? He's asking God to honor his word. He said, please remember your word. Remember what you said. And by the way, it is okay to tell God that. Is it okay to say, God, remember your word? Remember your... I think of Abraham when he was bargaining for Sodom. God, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? Far be it from you. Remember how he went down and bargained with God. So the request. Then the recognition in verses 51 and 52, or 50 and 51. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. God's word there. And then the remembrance in verses 52 through 56. We see it several times. Verse 52, I've remembered thy judgments of old. Verse 55, I've remembered thy name. Remember there that he had a remembrance of God's name and God had made his mark on him. So, next line there. Many Bible students agree that in this portion of the psalm, the writer has suffered material loss. And I want you to notice the next phrase. But did not lose his joy. Say, how do you know, Pastor, that he suffered material loss? Well, if you look at verse 61, it says there, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. Okay? The bands of the wicked have robbed me. So he suffered material loss here, but he didn't lose his joy. Let's look, if we could, at number one. You have your outline there. Number one, the find. F-I-N-D. The find. Verses 57 and 58. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Number one, his realization. His realization. He comes to the realization. And by the way, loss will do this to us. Not just financial loss, emotional loss, physical loss. It brings us to the point where God is all we have. Now I'll tell you this, in my flesh, I don't like that. Now, please understand, and I think you know what I'm trying to say here. Listen, I'm glad I have a home. I'm blessed to have a home that you folks provide for me. I'm glad that I have a wife and I have children and all those wonderful things that God has blessed. But God's blessed me with health. And each of you could say amen. But many times it's through loss where God shows us that He's our portion. He's the one we truly need. He's really, I think of that song, it says, when you come to the place where I'm all you've got, you'll find I'm all you need. Thou art my portion, His realization there. But also, not only is there a realization in verse 57, there's a resolution, number two. What's the resolution? Because of His realization, Thou art my portion, O Lord. It says, I have said that I would keep Thy words. God tells us, and we've all been guilty of it, we've all been guilty of willful sin, but God tells us that we're not to be hearers only, but we're to be doers of the Word. Because when we are hearers only, the Bible says we deceive our own selves. I've been guilty of self-deception before, Brother Jim. And all God's people said, amen. Hopefully not just about me, you were saying amen to that. Amen? Oh yeah. I've heard before and then not did. Here the psalmist, he realizes after suffering this loss that God is his portion, and he says, I'm going to resolve that I'm going to do what the Word of God says. Now, it's easy to say that. It's another thing to do it. We sing a song in our hymnals. I'm told it's an invitation song. I never thought of it that way, Brother Leonard, but I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, hey, can I say this? Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him. Hasten so glad and free. Great song. I'm resolved. So we see there, we see His realization that God is His portion. His resolution. What does He say there? I would keep Thy words. And His request in verse 58. I entreated Thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me. And thank God for this next phrase. Be merciful unto me according to Thy word. I'll never forget years ago, Brother Case, I was on a corner in Pontiac, Michigan, witnessing to a young Muslim man, one of the nicest men I ever talked to. We were just going back and forth, just talking, and of course I was trying to win him to Christ, and I think he was trying to win me to Allah, and it didn't really work out for both of us, amen. We were just there, and I was talking to him, and I remember when we got to the brass tacks, I said this, what about your sin? What about your sin? I said, because the truth is, you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. And he said, I hope Allah will be merciful. Yeah. And I told him very kindly, not snotty, not holier than thou. I said, I've got something better than hope. Yes, I've got the Word of God that tells me that God will be merciful because His Son has dealt with the sin problem.
Amen.
What does he say there? He said, be merciful unto me according to Thy word. You ought to look up the word mercy in the Bible. You ought to do, you know, we got the Power Bible, Brother Leonard, just mercy, merciful. I think of that one psalm, I think it's Psalm 136, and it every verse ends with, and His mercy endureth forever. And His mercy endureth forever. And I thank God that His request was that He entreated God with His whole heart to be merciful. That's what we need, ladies and gentlemen. We need mercy. You know what America needs? Mercy. Because it's riding the roller coaster on the way to judgment. And it's up to us to say, Lord, please be merciful. please, in judgment, remember mercy. It's his request. So the find, number one, realization, resolution, request. Number two, the feet, F-E-E-T, the feet. Verses 59 and 60. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The Word of God here, His feet. You know, your body goes where your feet take you. Right? It's a simple thing. You're walking, I'm walking, moving this way. And wherever my feet go, that's where I'm going to... I remember this early on in my Christianity. When I used to work in a hard rock band. And my feet would take me to that bar on Friday night and Saturday night. And I remember just as clear as a bell, standing behind this giant column speaker that was just blaring out there as my friend's band was playing right here on the stage. And I remember looking out and seeing things that no Christian should see. And I remember just as clear as a bell, the Holy Spirit saying, "You don't belong here." But you know what? If my feet took me there, that's where I went. But here we find these feet in verse 59. I thought on my ways. I thought on my ways. I thought about what I was doing and where I was going. And turned my feet unto thy testimonies. We've said so many times, repentance, again, it's not preached very much anymore. Repentance, coming to God and repenting, saying, "God, you're right and I'm wrong," is as simple as saying, "I am walking in the wrong direction. I need to turn around." That's repenting. It's repenting. So where are His feet directed toward? Two things we see here in verse 59. His feet are directed toward perfect obedience. Perfect obedience. Verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Vince Lombardi was a great football coach. Great football coach. He wouldn't survive in today's NFL. I could tell you that right now. He's just not politically correct enough. He said this, and I think it's a great principle for life. He said, if you chase perfection, you'll catch excellence. He wanted, Brother Kelly, every drill in practice to be perfect. If you moved early, he was all over you. If you did not take care of your assignment, he was all over you. Because he felt that if you chased perfection, you would catch excellence. Can I say the same way in the Christian life? We're not perfect, and we're never going to be perfect. But if we'll incline our feet to that book to try our best to obey it, we'll catch Christian excellence. We'll be more like Christ. And isn't that the goal? Amen? To be more like Him. So, perfect obedience is the first line there. But then the second is prompt obedience. Boy, this is important. Verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. You've been there. I've been there. Holy Spirit worked on us about something. And we wanted to deal with it, Mrs. Harmon. We wanted to deal with it right away. But the devil convinced us to just wait a little bit. Just wait. You know how many people in hell right now were convinced to just wait? Yep. To just get saved tomorrow? Yep. And we didn't, and we were the worse for it. Because God had told us, deal with it. I think especially of just getting rid of things in our life. There'll be times when God just says, just get rid of that. Just don't do that. Don't go there. And we'll go there one last time. Or we'll do this one more thing. And then, you know what? I'm telling you, if there's one thing I demand from my children, Brother Travis, it's prompt obedience. It's not, if I say, go do that, and my kids kind of lollygag a little bit, it becomes, amen? Now, God doesn't do that to us, But he could if he wants to. He could do this, knock our block off if he wanted to. He says here, I made haste. Well, we ought to, when God says something clear as a bell, we ought to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Prompt obedience. So we see the find, we see the feet. We see, thirdly, the foes in verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. I have a little note here. No foe can rob anyone of their faith in God. No foe. I've mentioned it so many times. I hope you'll get it. If you've never read Tortured by for His Faith by Popoff, you have got to buy that book. I'm a slow reader. And when I say slow, that's the understatement of the century. Amen. I'm just to digest and read. I could not put that book down, Brother Apple. I mean, I could not put it down. Of everything that they did to this man, that most people would have recanted Christ, and we wouldn't have thought them any worse for it. I'm here to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. No foe can take your faith in God. Clarence Sexton said this, no one can take your integrity from you. You have to surrender it voluntarily. No foe. These foes that had robbed him and hurt him, you know what he said? What did he say at the end of verse 61 there? But I have not forgotten thy law. I have not forgotten thy law. The find, the feet, the foes. Number four, we see the fervor in verse 62. His fervor. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. Wait, he just suffered loss. Something has happened to him. He's been robbed. People have hurt him. People have wronged him. And yet, at midnight, he says, I will rise up and sing praises to my God. I believe that this kind of fervor, Brother Case, is really only produced through loss. Really. Now, listen, don't get mad at me because my hand's not going up either. When's the last time you woke up at midnight and purposed to get up and sing praises to Him? Some of you are like, how about quarter to never? Amen? Quarter to never. No. He just suffered all that loss and he realized that God is his only portion and he said, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And all his neighbors are going, it's midnight. Quiet down over there. Amen. Probably a bunch of backslidden Baptists. Amen. Quiet down. Oh, fervor. Fervor. Oh, we ought to have fervor. I don't mean that you're going to get up tonight at 1 o'clock and especially if your wife's sleeping next to you, fellas. Don't wake her up, amen? Maybe you just want to do that making melody in your heart, like the Bible says, amen, at 12 midnight. But here there's a fervor. The five, notice the friends in verse 63. Friends. It says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. People are known by the company that they keep. Amen? My dad taught me that principle a long time ago. He said politics a lot of times was really easy. You have two candidates. At that time, you could vote for one particular party or the other. It's getting a little bit more red and blue. We'll just leave it at that as opposed to black and white. He said, it's easy. Just look at the guy standing next to him. It's not that hard. It's really not. The company that they keep. If we have two politicians that are coming through looking for the votes of the people of Loomis Park Baptist Church, I'm going to ask them, do you support abortion? If you say yes, I'm not voting for you. If you have all those people lined up next to you that support abortion, I'm not voting for you. You can vote for whoever you want. I'm not voting for that person. They could be fiscally conservative and all those things that we love. I'm not voting for that person. Why? Because of the company he keeps will eventually affect the person. Pay attention, young people. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Amen. Every time, Brother Tom. Amen. Every time. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. His friends. Who are the friends of the psalmist here? Verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. I could say this honestly. My best friends are the people of God. My best friends. I love my family, my extended family. I didn't have any brothers or sisters. I have 10 first cousins, and I thank God for them. I love them, but they're not my best friends. A lot of my best friends are right here in this room. The people of God are the people that fear God, fear His name, keep His word, the friends. And then, number 6, notice the facts in verse 64. The facts. What does he say there? His discovery. Number 1. His discovery. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. You look around and you see God's mercies. They're new every morning. Lamentations 3 tells us. Amen. Even, Brother Harmon, this cursed world that we live in, still full of God's mercy. You want an example? Let's all take a deep breath together. Ready? We did that by the mercy of God. Because everyone in this room does not deserve to have air in their lungs, does not deserve to have families, does not. We all deserve one thing, don't we, folks? The wages of sin is death. And yet, our God is merciful. So his discovery was that the whole earth was full of the mercy of God. And then his desire at the end of verse 64. His desire. Teach me thy statutes. You know, sometimes if you're like me, you get up in the morning and you get You do the zombie walk to the coffee pot. And you think, why didn't I set that last night to be on right now? Because I could be enjoying coffee right now. And you have your coffee and maybe you start your day. Maybe even you sit down with your coffee and you start with your Bible. That's good. But could I recommend something to you? Could I exhort you as your pastor to say this? Before you do that, not before you get to the coffee, amen, but when you have the coffee and the steam is coming off it and you got your Bible right there, don't just start reading. Say, Lord, thank you for your word. Please teach me your statutes. We've got the author inside us, Miss Robin. Amen. The Holy Spirit's right here. But you know what? He's a gentleman. And he wants to be asked. Teach me thy statutes. If you're like me, you start swigging that coffee and you start reading sometimes and you're just reading along. Maybe you're on your path of reading and you forget to say, Lord, would you please teach me something special today? Please help me to understand this book. Teach me thy. That was his desire. That was his desire, that God would teach him his statutes. The title of the lesson tonight is Rejoicing Despite Ruin. The robbers took something from him, but they didn't take his joy. They didn't take his love for God. They definitely didn't take his love for God's word. Father,